Appreciate that, and the storm does pass by. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? I'm so glad that it does. Often in the Bible, when you read about a storm, it talks about, says it came to pass. And it came to pass. Well, what's that mean? Well, it's going to pass is what it means, but it came to pass. It came because it needed to come. It needed to pass through. It needed to rain on your vegetables. It needed to rain on your flowers. It needed to storm so that we could find out that our roof was going to leak. That's why it had to storm. And I don't know, you know, it's whatever God's plan is, he makes it storm. And but that storm does pass by. And praise the Lord for that. And whatever trial you may be going through now, guess what? The sun will come out and it will be beautiful and you're going to be excited. And praise the Lord that the storm does pass by. I want to talk to you about pleasing God. Pleasing God. In John chapter 8, we have a passage that, what a blessing that Jesus could say this, and thank God he could, because the Bible says that he was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. Can you imagine that? He never sinned, but thank God he never sinned, because if he'd have sinned, he couldn't have been our sacrifice. He could not have paid the price for our sins, we who do sin often. But here's what he said. He said in verse 28, he said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do, what a testimony. I do always those things that please him. Well, I wish I could say that. I really wish I could say that I just always please the Father. Now, the truth of the matter is, I can't say that, and neither can you. But what I want to show you this morning, we actually can please the Father. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to just talk to you about pleasing God, just pleasing God. And we ought to want to please him today. We ought to desire to please the Lord today. Father, bless now the preaching. Thank you again for the singing and just for everyone who could come. Today, thank you that the weather was nice and folks could get out of their driveways and could get out. I know they're happy to be out. And so just bless our time and speak to our hearts. If anyone here is not saved, Lord, I pray you'd save them today. That would sure please you, I know, if they would come to Christ and be born again. So bless the service now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The truth is, everybody ought to please God. It ought to be our desire. I mean, all that God gives us, He created us. He gives us oxygen to breathe. He gives us the weather, and that's sometimes a bad choice in the winter. But he provides, like we said a while ago, the storms that water the grass. There really is grass out there, folks. I know it's hard to imagine, but there is, and it will be green. But he gives us food. He gives us sustenance. He takes care of us, and we ought to please God. Every girl, every boy, every man, every woman, rich people, poor people, intelligent people, unlearned people, everybody ought to try to please God. We ought to do everything we can to please God. I realize that we have been taught differently. We've grown up differently. We think, oh, I'm more important. It's all about me. And yet, really, we ought to decide that we ought to please God. We ought to want to please God. God, remember, God put man in a perfect environment. The Garden of Eden was perfect. We have people today saying, oh, you know, if we could just make it better for man, man would be better. That's not true. It was the best in the Garden of Eden. It couldn't have been better in the Garden of Eden. There was nothing that man could ever possibly need that wasn't taken care of in the Garden of Eden. I mean, all the food, anything he wanted, it was there. And yet, he gave man one restriction in the Garden of Eden, and what did he do? Man broke the restriction. You say, oh, that Eve, I'll tell you, she just caused so much. Listen to me, if it had been you, if it had been me, if it had been, we would have done the same thing. Just like Adam and Eve, don't be upset with them. We would have done that because, again, you give man a restriction, and what's he going to do? Well, he's going to look away from all the good things God did, and he's going to go for that one thing he's not supposed to do. But, again, you know, God sent his son Jesus to die for us, and he made a way so we could be saved. We talked about that in the Revelation class, talking about that number 666. And the one thing we know about that number 666 is the number 6 is just short of what? Seven. Seven's a number of perfection, and man's number is 6, and we'll always be just short without Jesus Christ. We always come short. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter what you try to do as a 6, you can't become a 7 on your own. You can roll around. I was envisioning 6s rolling around and doing all they could to turn into a 7, but a 6 can't become a 7. It'll always be just short. And that's us without Jesus. And if you're here without Jesus today, you're just short. But bless God, when you leave here today, you can be a 7 because you can put on Jesus Christ. You can be saved. And I would encourage you to do that. So all that God's done, He's made a way. He's taken care of us. He's sent His Son to die for us. We ought to want to please Him. It shouldn't even be a problem. I mean, maybe I announce, well, we're going to talk about pleasing God. And somebody said, And how sad, because it ought to be our desire to please Him. I'm going to give you 3 things this morning, and then we'll be done. Number 1 is the prevention to pleasing God. The prevention. Here's the problem right here. Here's why we don't please God. We prevent ourselves from pleasing God because of several things that we do. Number 1 is rejecting God's Son. That never will please God when you reject His Son. Never. You cannot please God by rejecting His Son. Now, you know, I think an awful lot of my son, and if somebody treats him wrong, I might get a little upset with him. I'm certainly not going to be pleased with him. Amen? Your children, you will not be pleased if somebody wrongs one of your children. It's not going to please you. Understand, when we reject God's Son, and I did for many years before I got saved, I did. I had opportunities. How many of you had opportunities several times before you got saved? Raise your hand. Many people did, all over the room. We had opportunities. We heard the gospel and we said, no, I'm not interested. Somebody preached and we said, I don't care. Somebody gave us a tract and we read it and we said, I don't care. I'm not interested in that. Somebody knocked on our door and talked to us about the Lord. We said, I don't want it. Maybe it was in a junior church. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class, and somebody told us how Jesus loved us, but we said, I don't need that. That doesn't please God. Doesn't please God. If you walk out of here today without Jesus Christ and you've rejected Him and rejected the salvation that God made possible by sending Jesus to that cross, understand that will not please God. It does not please God. God sent His Son to die on the cross because the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He loves us. And that's why He did that. And for us to say, you know what? I don't care that Jesus died on the cross. I don't care that He was beaten and bloodied and nailed to the... Doesn't matter to me. I want to do my own thing. That certainly prevents you from pleasing God. You cannot please God as a unsaved person rejecting God's Son. And that is very clear in Scripture. What else? Another prevention to pleasing God is whenever we live for ourselves. That could be anybody. You live for yourself. When we say, you know what, I am more important than anything else, we certainly do not please God. Look at Romans 8 and verse 8. Romans 8 and verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, certainly, we could talk about the unsaved person. I just did. The person who rejects God's Son, that certainly does not please God. But you know what? Even if a Christian lives for the flesh, it doesn't please God. Even if somebody who's, you know, I'm saved. Because here's the thing. Our flesh cannot please God. There is nothing we can do in the flesh. In fact, it is offensive to God when we do anything as a Christian when we do it in the flesh. That means if somebody gets up and they sing in the flesh. What do you mean sing in the flesh? Well, I'm not talking about taking their clothes off. I'm talking about if somebody gets up and they say, you know what, I want everybody to hear my wonderful voice and hear me sing, and I want them to be impressed, and I hope to see somebody swooning over my beautiful voice and my singing, and aren't you impressed? You know, that's somebody, or it could be as simple as somebody getting up and not asking God to help them. Could be as simple as somebody saying, you know, I can handle this myself. It could be, it's like our young people tonight, and I've asked several to do some things, and it takes them a little bit out of their comfort zone, and they say, yeah, I'm a little nervous about that. Good. You should always be nervous when you're doing something for God. You should be nervous enough to say, God, I can't do this without you. And God says, I like that. But when we say, oh, I can do it. Oh, I'm certainly able. I've practiced enough. That's in our flesh. It'd be the same with preaching in the flesh. It's the same as teaching a Sunday school class in the flesh. In other words, if we give the indication, God, I don't need you, that's not pleasing to him. If you play an instrument, if you preach, if you teach, if you sing, if you work on a bus, if you drive a bus, you should always say, God, please help me. I might mess this thing up. And I'm not talking about singing mess up the note. I'm not talking about preaching mess up a word. I'm talking about not having God's hand on the work instead of our own. Because God is not pleased when we live for ourselves doing things in the flesh. Look at Romans 15 and verse 1. Romans 15 and verse 1. Living for self. I can do without God. I don't need God's help. I'm okay. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus pleased not himself. Jesus is the one who said, not my will, but thine be done. The Father. He said, in our text, go back to John chapter 8 and look at that again, because Jesus is very clear here. He said, I want to do the Father's will, whatever the Father wants me to do. By the way, if every child would say, I want to do what my parents, boy, parents would say, yeah, all right, that's great. But your heavenly Father says to you, parent, I want you to do what I want you to do. And not what you want to do. John chapter 8, notice in verse 28, Jesus said, but as my Father, and that I do nothing of myself. Jesus said, I do all that pleases. I do always those things that please him. Well, what's that mean? He said, I don't do anything of myself. It's not my idea. It's not my fault. Now, again, Jesus, I understand who Jesus is. I know he's the Son of God, but he's emphasizing to you and I who are not the Son of God, he's emphasizing to us, just seek the Father's will instead of your own. Yeah, but I want my way. I want to do it my way. I want to do what I want to do. And Jesus, okay, you can do what you want to do, and so many do. But I got news for you. You'll never, never please God doing your own thing. You'll never please God in your own flesh. We cannot do it. That's why Jesus died for us, so that he could pay for the sins of our flesh and so we could put on him who is righteous. And so if we reject God's Son, it prevents pleasing God. If we live for ourselves, it prevents the pleasing of God. Then the third thing, if we live to please men, we can't please God. What are you talking about, preacher? Look at Galatians 1, verse 10. And we are so driven by what everybody thinks, aren't we? We are so driven by what everybody thinks. I mean, some people, you had a hard time getting ready today because, I want my hair to look right for everybody. I fret about that all the time. I always want my part to be just right. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're so worried. We're so concerned. What does everybody think? And what will they say? And how can I make them happy? Galatians 1 and verse 10, so clear in the scripture. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, you know, I just want to please men. I want people to be happy with me. And certainly there's nothing wrong with trying to help people and be a blessing to people. But our number one thing should not be to please men. It should be to please God. Because sometimes those conflict, you know, sometimes there's a huge conflict, pleasing men or pleasing God. Now, not all the time, but sometimes. You know, words like, well, this is popular. That's why I'm going to, well, it may be popular, but it may be wrong. I mean, nowadays, you know, drinking alcohol. Everybody drinks alcohol, of course. You know, I had a guy one time tell me, he said, well, you can't eat spaghetti without drinking a little wine with it. I said, really? I've had spaghetti. I've had SpaghettiOs. I've had every kind of spaghetti you can make. Never had wine with it. And it was okay. It worked. I've eaten pizza without wine. I've had lasagna without wine. In fact, I've never had wine. I've heard people whine. But I've not, honestly, I have no clue what the guy's talking about, but it's become popular. Come on, you enjoy yourself more. No, you don't. I enjoy myself very well without being drunk. I enjoy myself very well without alcohol. Again, the idea, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Don't let men tell you what you got to do. Don't let people tell you what you have to do. Don't let people tell you, the old bandwagon, well, the whole crowd is doing it, you need to join in. No, you don't need to join in. Because that's what's going to get us in trouble. But more important than that is just the idea, I'm worried about people. And I don't even care what God thinks. That's the day we live in. You see, it prevents us from pleasing God. Rejecting God's Son, living for self, living to please men. How about this? Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This also prevents me. And this is so many people. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible. Now, that is, there's no way around that. Impossible. Well, you know, maybe a little. No. It's impossible without faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Okay? It's a matter of us. We have to trust God in our lives. I'm amazed how many Christians have so much trouble with this. You know, and all it takes is, well, bless God, I believe in faith, and I believe in trusting God, and trust and obey, and we like all that and everything. And then the first trial comes, and it's like, ah, it's over. No, that's when you have faith. Do you understand? You don't need faith until you have to trust God. And so living by faith is day, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you if the sun's shining. I trust you if it's raining. I trust you if it's snowing. I trust you if it's a blizzard. I trust you if the roof's leaking. Amen. I trust you, God. I trust you even though it started dripping down here into this part. Amen. And bless God, if we got to build an ark, we'll build an ark. But I trust you, God. Now just think about it. Well, you say, you know, I trust God, but then problems came. You didn't have to trust God until the problems came. It's easy to believe when everything's going good. But real belief is when things aren't going so hot. Real faith is when, yeah, the money's not there and you have to pray. Real faith is when the doctor says, I see a spot and you have to pray. Real faith is when the relationship is breaking down and there's problems and you have to trust and you have to believe. And God says, you know, He says, you can't please me unless you trust me. You can't even begin. And so people that worry all the time, I'm just so worried about this and so worried. God says, I wish you'd believe me. I wish you'd trust me. I wish you, every parent would say to their kids, it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Trust me. Now you may be terrified, but it's okay. You know, I still can remember when I was a little boy and Dad would say, you know, tornado warning. And we had gone through the Palm Sunday tornado in 1965 and I was terrified of storms. But Dad convinced me that after that, he convinced me he had it under control. Honestly, I was convinced. It would start to thunder. I'd hear it in the background late at night. I'd get up and I'd go in Dad's room. He wished he never would have convinced me. I used to wake him up all the time. As soon as Dad's up, I'd go to bed and sleep. I had no idea what I thought Dad was going to do. You know, halt, tornado. But I don't know what I thought. All I know is he convinced me that it was okay. Everything's all right. We like that as parents, don't we? Till your kid wakes you up in the middle of the night. But We like it when our kids trust us, don't we? You know what? Our Heavenly Father likes it when we trust Him too. It pleases Him. He likes it. And when we don't trust Him, it prevents us from pleasing Him with our lives. And you and I, with our kids and with people that look up to, we do fail. I know that. And isn't it amazing how they still trust us? God's never failed. Never failed. Not one time has God ever failed. Well, look at our roof over there. It's all. God didn't fail. Some product got too much snow and ice on it. It failed. God never failed. I think God smiled through it all, to be honest with you. I think He still is. Because He's God. And maybe sometimes we have to get a little bit out of our comfort zone, get a little uncomfortable. That's okay. You know, it's okay to say, God, I believe You. I trust You. Amen. Living without faith, it prevents you from pleasing God. The prevention of pleasing God. Number two is the possibility of pleasing God. And this is what I really want to get to. And I love the thought. We actually can please God. And I said possibility, number one, because it starts with the letter P. And all my words start with the letter P. But I also said it because it's amazing to me that you and I actually can please the God of heaven. He says so. I'm going to show you a verse. He says we actually can please Him. That means that we actually, there's something we can do. Oh, do we ever mess up? Don't we? I mean, come on, just this past week, think about it. All right, wives, don't elbow your husband. He knows he did. Well, maybe he doesn't. You can tell him later. But think about how many times we messed up just last week. You know, in our minds, our thoughts, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have, you know, and yet God says, but you know what? It's possible for you to please Me. And we totally messed up. We messed up so bad that we were on our way to hell. And yet now, God says, here's some ways you can please Me. What's that mean? That means God will smile. That means God, like you do, when your kids say, Dad, I trust You, I believe You. You know, and you kind of, yeah. I mean, God in heaven, He's pleased. Wow, I like that. That's an amazing thing. How can we please God? The possibility of pleasing God. First of all, is Matthew 3, verse 17. Look at it real quick. Matthew 3 and verse 17. I can please God. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ getting baptized. And it says in Matthew chapter 3, it says, verse 15, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He suffered him, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Himself said in our text that He always pleased the Father. But here, what is Jesus doing in getting baptized? Here's a man who never sinned, but what is He doing? He's simply obeying. That's all. He's just obeying. You know, I always please the Father. John, I need you to baptize me. John said, oh, no. I need to be baptized. No, Jesus said, this is what the Father commanded. So I want to do this. Isn't that good? I love that. You know, in verse 15, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That means all doing right. Jesus said, I want to do it. Whatever it is that's right, I want to do it. You know, when I was 17 years old and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and He came into my heart and He saved me, I said, okay, I'm saved. What's next? Well, you need to get baptized. What? You need to get baptized. What's baptized? You know? I said, hey, wait a minute. I got it covered. I was sprinkled as a little baby. No. No, that's not baptism. That's sprinkled as a little baby. You need to get baptized. What do you mean? You need to be dunked underwater and identify yourself with Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection. You didn't do that when you were sprinkled. No, I didn't, did I? Yeah. And immediately, what did I think of? Well, I thought of my long, beautiful, flowing hair that I had back then. Getting wet and people seeing it wet. You don't understand the production every morning. Some of you that were around in the 70s, you remember. Some of you remember when you had hair too. But it was way down here, and it was a production to really look good. And my hair's going to get... And they said, you know what? This is how you obey. It is? Yeah. Yeah, you get baptized. You're not ashamed of... Oh, no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm just ashamed of my hair being wet. That's what you do next. Wow. Obedience. See, there's folks in here. You've been saved, but you never got baptized. By the way, somebody said, how do we baptize now that we're down here? We all go up there, and we baptize. We'll do it today if we need to. If you need to get baptized, we'll baptize you. Water's still warm. Amen. Everything's still up there. We just can't go the other way. We'll all go this way, and the fire marshal won't know. And if you need the elevator, we can't do that. So I'm sorry. We can't help you there. But you know what? It's just a matter of obeying. Now, that seemed like a hard thing to me. Because my beautiful hair. But it seems so silly today, doesn't it? I know. But you know what? It's hard for other people too. Why don't you get baptized? That's next. That's obedience. Church attendance. It's obedience. That's why we come to church. You know, God says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When we assemble, we assemble. That's what it means. Amen? Amen. And we do it on Sunday morning, and then we do it again tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll assemble, and we should all be here. Amen? Tithing, same thing. It's just a matter of obedience. That's how we please God. Folks, all over the room, tithe today. And you know what? God smiled. God smiled. Tim will smile. But you've got to understand it pleases God. Look real quick, Colossians 3, verse 20. Oh, there's some that aren't going to like this. Those who are under the age of 18. Nah, they like it. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents when you want to. Oh, no, it doesn't say that, does it? In all things. But watch the result of that. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Pleases God. Obedience. But again, it's not just children. It's authority. It's obeying authority. It's putting ourselves under authority and learning how to obey authority and just do what's right. Obedience. Let me close this point down. 1 John 3, because I really need to hurry. It's kind of warm, isn't it? How many of you think it's perfect temperature? Wow. How many of you think it's too hot? How many think it's too cold? No two colds this time. All right, we'll tweak it again. We're learning, just like Tim and I are learning what to do up here. 1 John 3, verse 22. Look what it says. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. We have a lot of people today saying we don't need to keep God's commandments anymore. Once you get saved, you don't need God's commandments. How foolish. How foolish that is, you know. But it says, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And it's always pleasing to God when we obey him. Always. Just like it is when a parent says to a child, go clean your room, and they run and clean their room. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it's like, wow. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. And when God says, do this, what happened? This is a true illustration, right? I didn't mess up, did I? Well, it is hot up here, but number two, possibility of pleasing God. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. I love it. Solomon could have had anything. Well, I'd like a new Maserati. Well, Solomon, you can have anything you want. I don't think they had Maseratis back then. Maybe a Maserati chariot. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give therefore, here's Solomon. God says you can have anything you want. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Watch this. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. Isn't that good? Solomon could add anything. Well, I'd like $1 billion. Have you ever thought about what you could do with $1 billion? Yeah, I think about it every now and then. Tithing is at the top of the list. Amen. And giving on top of that is at the top of the list. And I try to make deals with God. And God, you know. And then he says, that's why you didn't get it, because I know. Anyway, asking for the right things from God that pleases God. He loves that when we pray right. You know, he loves that. And Solomon asked for wisdom. Of all the things on our list of things that we want, that probably isn't there. A new truck, you know, that's there. Right? Amen. Tickets to the NCAA tournament. Yeah, that's there. You know, there's a lot of things there. And I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong things, but I'm just saying there's a whole, but that wisdom is what Solomon asked for. And why? Because God, I want to help your people. Wow. Most of us would probably not ask for that. Because we usually ask very selfishly and simply to ask for the right things. God, here's what I want. You know, it pleased God, the Bible says. Please God. Obedience, asking for the right things. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. Being separated. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. I just want you to know I am on the back page. That should really encourage you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier, pleasing God by not being entangled with the world, separated, being separated for God. In other words, being different, realizing, hey, I'm on God's team. I'm gonna wear a uniform that has his name on it. Amen. I'm going to look, act, talk, walk, run. Everything I do, it's going to be like I think Jesus wants me to. Seriously, have you ever just said, what would God want me to do in this case? Okay, you're tempted with this, tempted with that. All of us are. Every time, all the time, we're tempted to watch, tempted to listen, tempted to say, tempted to go, tempted to do. I mean, all kinds of things. Do you ever just stop and say, I wonder if this will please God? You know, if I do this thing, will it please God? If I take this thing, will it please God? If I watch this thing, will it please God? If I listen, will it please? If I say, will that please God? Are these things pleasing to God? It's a matter of just being separated for God. It's just getting farther and farther from the world, closer and closer to him. That's what every Christian should want in their life. That pleases him. Hebrews 13, verse 20 is our fourth thing, and that is being yielded to God. Simply being yielded, Hebrews 13 and verse 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. He makes us perfect. He makes us mature. He makes us ready. He makes us able to do whatever it is he wants us to do, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, being yielded to him, letting him make us. You know, the example in Jeremiah of the clay and the potter making the clay into the vessel that he wants it to be. And the clay says, I don't want to be that. Hey, don't make me that way. Now, if your clay said that, you'd be a little nervous, I know. But that's what we do. And God tries to make us what he wants us to be. And what should we do? Just yield. Just yield. And God, whatever you want. That's what Jesus did. Not my will. See, we're every one of us battles with this thing because we have our will. Well, here's what I want to do. And God says, but here's what I want you to do. And I promise you, you'll be happier doing what he wants you to do than you could ever, ever be doing what you want to do. But it pleases God to be yielded. Walking with God, Enoch did. Hebrews 11, verse 5, you know the story. Enoch walked with God. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. You say, well, that's an easy thing. Bible says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Why? Because he walked with God. He just walked with God. He just spent time with God. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, walking with God, God's not going to change. So you find that you agree with him. And whatever has to happen in my life to make me agree with him, he's right politically. He's right religiously. He's right socially. You have no argument against him. God, did you read in the paper what he's right? Doesn't matter, whatever. God, what's your opinion on it's right? Amen. We can argue back and forth, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. We can argue about all kinds. But guess what? You don't argue with him because he's right. But it pleases him that I'm going to walk with him every morning. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to spend my time with God. And he's pleased about that. Again, isn't that amazing? You would think, why would he ever want to talk to me? But he loves it. And he says it pleases him. And then this point, the last thing, Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. This is something that always pleases God. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. And as God was pleased with the sacrifice over and over and over again in the Old Testament, you read about the sacrifice, and it says it sent up a savor, and it was a sweet-smelling savor, and it was well-pleasing to the Lord. He said, I got something better for you. Sing. That's what we did a while. Do you know what the song service is all about? It's to praise God. Bible says he inhabiteth the praises of Israel. We'd kind of like him in here. We'd kind of like his inhabiting to take place right here. Amen. So what do you do? Sing. I like him inhabiting everywhere I am. So I try to sing. That's why I've got good music on my CD player. That's why I sing. That's why I hum. That's why I've always got a song that I'm thinking about that is a good song, that it's going to please him, but it also, he likes it and he's going to stick around. You say, well, I can't really hit the notes right. He doesn't care. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I've heard several of you sing, and that's what it is. But you know, praise the Lord, Dale. Now, right, Brother Stewart? Wherever you are, I'm not used to all this yet. I haven't got used to Chuck and Donna being way up here in the front. And Bill Cook and Michelle, I didn't even know they came here. There they are. In that auditorium, I can't see the back, so some of you can sin and get away with it. I don't know. It won't be in the notes, but praising God. We are so prone to gripe and complain about anything and everything. We have so much to praise him for. So much to praise God for. You know, so somebody recently said to my wife, well, you're always just so happy. You're in your happy little bubble. You know, just happy, 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 happy. Why are you always so happy? What's your problem? You know? It's like, what do you say to something like that? Seriously, what are you going to say? You just praise God. I guarantee you come up with something negative, I'll give you a positive. Always. Always. Somebody come, I counsel folks and all the time. Well, this, and then I've got positive. This. Why do you always turn things around? Well, because things can be turned around. Because I'd rather smile than frown. Amen. Yeah. Praise him with your lips, praise him with your life. Just praise him. It talks about thankfulness, it talks about praising him. So important. Hebrews 13, verse 15, because I'm still in Hebrews. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's day in, day out. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I mean, when you get up in the morning, praise his name. Oh, you understand, I'm upset. There's nothing positive about waking up in the morning. I got something right away. You did. Come on. Have you ever woke up and said, praise God, I woke up. Oh, Let me give you the last thing. Number one, I said the prevention to pleasing God gave a bunch of things that do not please God. Number two, I said the possibility of pleasing God gave a bunch of things that do please God. Number three are the promises when we please God. He gives us these promises. It's so good. Go to Proverbs 16:7. I'll be very quick through this. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. It's just some promises. I just have several things where there are promises when we please Him. Again, we ought to please Him just because He's God. We ought to please Him just because of all He's done for us and what a great God He is. But then He goes ahead and He gives us promises. Chapter 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a great promise. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I don't know what all that means. I think if it's a battle, if it's a war or something, they surrender. Some of it, I think, they just drop out of the picture. You know, they just, in many cases, what happened to the army? The army, God, they made them see something else. One time He made them see the valley as blood, and they all just took off. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you have enemies, you kind of like them. Just leave me alone. God says, if your ways please Him, that's what will happen. They'll be at peace. Or maybe it'll be they'll quit being your enemy. Wouldn't you like that? You know, if your enemies quit being your enemies and there's peace, it'd be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? So what should you do? Just please God. We already read 1 John 3, verse 22, but go back to it. 1 John 3, verse 22. Here's another promise. These are promises. These aren't, well, I hope so. These are God says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. 1 John 3, verse 22. The Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. He's going to answer our prayers. I mean, honestly, how many of you think that when children want something from mom and dad, they disobey to get it? I don't know about you, it never worked for me, because I did it often. And what happened when I disobeyed? Typically, it was the red paddle. Amen. Now, I know we don't do that nowadays, because the authorities and the leaders in the psychological world said that that'll warp their psyche. Dad never warped my psyche. He always warped my, well, anyway. But I'm just saying, folks, God says, I'll answer your prayers when you please me. I don't know. I just remember when I needed something from Dad, I was extra nice. When I needed God, my Dad, when I needed gas money. Remember back when gas was like 45 cents a gallon, and it went to 50, and we threw a fit, 50 cents a gallon, and we got mad. And I say, Dad, I got to have gas money. But I didn't just break his car window. You know, hey, aren't you pleased with me? No, I mowed the grass, or I went around and did extra chores, or I might even, oh, perish the thought, I might have dusted or something. I mean, you want your prayers answered? Please God. Please God. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, verse 4. Isaiah 56, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. What's he say? He says here that he's going to give them a good name. He says it's an everlasting name. Why? Because they pleased him. An everlasting, what's that mean? A good testimony, a good name. Boy, don't you want to have a good name and a good testimony among people around you? A good testimony. It's a promise of God. What do we need to do? Please Him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Two more and we're done. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. 8 verse. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Abound. You think about a kangaroo abounding, but that's not what it's talking about, jumping around. It's talking about growing. It's talking about more and more abounding, with abundance, with the growth and all that God has for you. And how do I do it? By pleasing God. You know, the Christians that are not growing, I can promise you this, you're also not pleasing God. The Christians that are not experiencing blessing after blessing and answered prayer and all that, it's somebody that's really struggling with just pleasing God. Pleasing God. I close with Colossians 1, verse 10, the last promise that that God we're going to talk about today. Colossians 1 and verse 10. It says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful and learning. Being fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, anybody that knows anything about a farmer, they're happier when there's fruit. When they plant, they work the ground, they plant the seed, and then when the time comes, there's a harvest. They're happy about that. They like that. That's good. That's fruitful. That's fruitful. You're not a success as a farmer if there's not fruit. In fact, you're in trouble. And I got news for you. We're not a success as a Christian unless there's fruit. There's a result. That's what fruit is. It's just the result. And the result of our lives ought to be fruit. It says in verse 9, right before this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know, because he wants us to be fruitful. He wants your life to matter, not just to kind of exist and, you know, I'm just existing, but to have fruit and to grow in the knowledge of God and to learn more and more and more and more and more and to be used the way God wants to use you. You see, understand, pleasing God. You say, I thought it was all about pleasing God. That's how I'm going to end up. Yeah, yeah. Because ultimately, seriously, if we please God, we are going to be pleased. That's. I'm not telling you to do it selfishly, but that is the truth. You will be much more pleased when you please God than when you please yourself, when you please men, when you try to please anybody else. We just simply need to learn to please God. Jesus said, always do. Try this week. Try to please God always, like Jesus did. Now, I know you're going to slip, but I guarantee you're going to be a whole lot happier, and he's going to be a whole lot more pleased if you just try. Every day, I'm going to try to please you, God.